Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees do the same. But yours, eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new cloak to patch an old one. Otherwise you will tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old cloak. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. And no one who has been drinking old wine desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today Jesus gives us three images, or the Sacred Scripture gives us three images that characterize our Christian discipleship and apostolate. We need to pour ourselves in and identify ourselves with these three images. But before we go there, from the end of today's Gospel, we need to recognize that we need this renewal. Not just at the beginning of a new year, scholastic year, year of transfers, but the ever-urgent newness of our Christian faith requires us to constantly ask the Lord for the gift of new wineskins so that we can receive what He wants to pour out every day. It's not just same old, same old. It's not just a little slight adjustment to what was done before. A tiny little bit of oil here, a little bit of grease there. God wants to give constantly a new engine. And we need to recognize that we need that newness, not that because the old is bad, but because the Lord wants to take us in quantum leaps ahead sometimes. And we need always to be ready for that type of dramatically new life built again on a new foundation He makes real for us. And so, three images. Three ways the Lord wants us to approach our Christian life with a sense of freshness. First is friends of the bridal chamber, sons of the wedding chamber. That's what today's Gospel has Jesus say we are. When the scribes and the Pharisees come and compare Jesus' disciples against their disciples, and against John the Baptist's disciples, they were obsessed about the religious practice of fasting. Fasting is a good practice. But Jesus didn't come into the world so that we could faithfully fulfill religious practices. Jesus came in to revolutionize the way we approached our faith by introducing us into a new relationship with God. And so when they questioned about the lack of seeming asceticism, Jesus replied, "Can you make the," here the translation is wedding guests, the real term is sons of the wedding chamber. In other words, the groomsmen, the maids, the bridesmaids, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is still with them?" The fundamental characteristic of bridesmaids and groomsmen on a wedding day is joy. Characteristic, one of the foundational attributes of anyone who's truly living the Christian life as it ought to be lived is this type of joy. And it's urgent for people to see, because so often they think that to live a more Christian life is to live in a more lifeless way rather than receiving life to the full. And Jesus wants us to recognize that the bridegroom is still with us. Pope Francis in Evangelii Gaudium said that the kerygma that we're supposed to announce is that Jesus Christ is with us. He walks beside us. He loves us in every instant, helping us, strengthening us, lifting us up, forgiving us. That when we have that relationship with Jesus, how can we not be full of joy? At the same time, as we'll talk about the Friday after Ash Wednesday, it seems that over the liturgy, I just realized today that I never get to preach on this over at Visitation, because these passages about fasting and new wines and new wineskins, etc., always happen on Fridays. They happen three times during the year, and it's always on Friday. I don't know what that means for you, that the Lord has sort of brought Father Friday just here for these things, but we'll take it as it is. We do fast because there are parts of us that are not fully in union with the Lord. We fast because there are parts of the world not in union with the Lord. So when Cardinal O'Connor has asked you to fast in reparation for so many of the sins against life, we're doing that because so often the world isn't in union with the bridegroom who's present. But far more than fasting, it's the joy that comes from knowing that the Lord is here. First characteristic. And the Lord wants us at the beginning of this year to receive the new wineskin so that He can pour in that realization anew. And we can contagiously share that joy with each other, with the women whom God sends here, with the people on the streets. Second term is huperistes. Thus should one regard us as huperistes of Christ. Servants is the translation here. But there are other words for servant in Greek. There's doulos, which is basically slave. There's diakonos, where we get deacon, who's more or less a servant. St. Paul doesn't use that term here with the Corinthians. He uses a totally different term, huperistes. Who was a huperistes? Huperistes was an oarsman in the old ships, down on the lowest level, essentially at the moving the rudder on the boat so that it's steered correctly. The huperistes wasn't the captain. Christ is the captain. But the huperistes was important to make sure the boat went in the right direction. It was hard work. It was humble work. The person wasn't in charge. But the service of the huperistes was crucial for the entire boat to arrive where it's going. The Lord wants us to see that we, in a sense, are huperistes. This isn't just about the clergy, it's about every Christian. To be able to recognize that our lives indicate to the entire world how they're supposed to go. There's a story Barclay, the great scripture commentator, gives about one of his contemporaries who told them this story. And we can really relate to the image. Just like St. Augustine's peer when he was looking back in his confessions, and he had extraordinary contrition for the time he stole a neighbor's peer. Even though it was small matter, he recognized the depth of the sinfulness that was involved in that sin. So Barclay's contemporary said that when he was a kid growing up in Ireland, We're given this story for Sister Magnificat. We've got all of these roundabouts all the way around. So the way the driving would happen is you get and you just follow the signs, and the signs will lead you throughout the whole country. But one day he went there and he reversed a sign. Just did it as a kid's practical joke. But then, decades later, he was wondering just how many people he had sent down the wrong road because he had changed that sign. For us, we are a peristhese, setting the sign toward Christ and toward his kingdom. We're meant to be eschatological signs, pointing people toward the life of heaven. But when we don't live as a real servant in this way, we can scandalize people. We can point people away from the Lord. When we're supposed to be people of great hope, we can become people who can facilitate others' despair. You know, Jesus, as we celebrate this votive mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, talked about the special responsibility we as priests and religious have as superestes to guide people the right way. Priests will have millstones around their neck if they teach people falsely. How important preaching is. But by our own actions, how do we look at this? Jesus in the Sacred Heart said, the vast majority treat him in the sacrament of his love with indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn. But what pains him most keenly, he continued, was when those who are consecrated to me treat me in this way. Because often it's the lack of fire on the part of those consecrated that allows everybody else to treat him in a routine way and take him for granted. When they see our hearts burning, that's when they can catch that flame. That's when their own hearts can be ignited, like happened on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples, thanks to that anonymous wayfarer. Jesus wants us to be those ones who approach others as they're walking on the streets and ask them what they're talking about as they go about the way. That's an essential aspect of who we are, and Jesus again wants to give us a new wineskin so that our conscience can be ever more attuned to his whisper, so that we can be those effective rudders in the bark of Peter, heading with Jesus as captain toward the eternal port. And the third is economoi, which St. Paul, the translation of St. Paul today is stewards. Economoi, not owners. An economos, literally, nomos is law, echo is home. It's the law of the home, the one who implements the law of the home. Nowadays, it's normally looked at as financial administration, but it was much bigger. A steward always recognizes he's not in charge, but he's given tremendous latitude. It's like a business manager where the owner of the company is not always present. Tremendous latitude and trust. But there's always a responsibility to answer to the owner. God has placed that enormous trust in us, stewards of his own mysteries. For a priest, we are stewards in a particular way of the sacraments. But there's something far greater than the sacraments even, by God's own economy. It's the people that God has entrusted. Each is an extraordinary mystery of God's love. We are called to be great stewards, first of the gift of life that God has given us, but then so many others that he entrusts to our love. Knowing that the Lord is the Lord of life, but that he's incorporated us into that exercise of his dominion. That's what it means to be economoi. To look around and say, the Lord has entrusted us in some degree with the mystery of every other sister in this chapel's vocation. We can, by our own life, encourage them to live in a more holy way. Or we can, by our own behavior, some of the times drag them down by giving in to some of the temptations we have to criticize or to complain or to be lazy or to be ambitious. Stewards of God's mysteries, likewise, for all those women who have come, to train them likewise to be good economoi of the mysteries growing within them, or that they're holding in their arms and feeding. Stewards of those that God will send us today, whom we will meet. Stewards of the various mysteries, including the mystery of the now, as the Catechism calls it, or the day. Everything that He's going to give us today is tied up in the mysterion theou, the mystery of Christ, and it's meant to be sacramental because the whole world speaks of God's grandeur. It's meant to lead us back to the Lord, as we were able to ponder yesterday on the World Day of Prayer for the care of creation. Today, as we come forward on this votive Mass of the Sacred Heart, the Lord Jesus wants to give us truly new receptivity so that we might have our life changed by what He's about to pour out. And He wants us, in response, to correspond with the grace of Himself given to us today, so that we might never lose the joy that not only are we friends of the bridal, friends in the, of the bridal part, sorry, sons of the wedding chamber, but you are the bride at the wedding, and the priest is the best man. He wants to pour out His grace and have us respond, so that we might be servants today in His church, the new Ark of the Covenant, and economoi of this great mystery He places into our hands and into our bodies and souls. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.